On episode 445 of the 40 Plus Fitness Podcast, we meet Alana Collins and discuss her book, Strength Training Over 40. You can find the full show notes of this episode at 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/445.
Have you decided you're ready to make a change? To reclaim your health and fitness? The 40 Plus Fitness Podcast is here for you. I'm your host, Alan Meisner. I'm an NSAM certified personal trainer with a specialization in corrective exercise and fitness nutrition. Let me be your coach as you find your way on your health and fitness journey. All right, let's go.
This episode of the 40 Plus Fitness Podcast is sponsored by Swanson Health. They have been producing high-quality vitamins and supplements, foods, and healthy home and self-care products for nearly as long as I've been alive. When I first visited their website, you can access it at 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/Swanson, I was floored by the selection. They have over 20,000 wellness products. From quality vitamins and supplements, to cruelty-free beauty items, to eco-friendly home products, Swanson Health is here to keep you healthy. I picked up some vitamin E, the tocotrienols, as discussed with Dr. Tan on episode 440, some COQ10 for heart health, vitamin A for eye health, and some probiotics for gut health. With all that's going on in the world, I'm supplementing to bolster myself against stress and support my immune system. I also picked up some elderberry syrup for my wife, which she is also using for immune support. Not only does Swanson Health offer many of the highest quality brands, they also carry their own Swanson brand vitamins and supplements. And as it is becoming more relevant in recent times, I can tell you the Swanson brand of vitamins and supplements are made in the United States, following strict quality standards. If you want to try Swanson Health's great products for yourself, go to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/Swanson and use the code FITNESS20 for 20% off. Here is your chance to stock up on the vitamins and supplements you need to support yourself on your health and fitness journey and save money in the process. Go check them out at 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/Swanson. And don't forget to use that code FITNESS20 for 20% off. Our guest today is a certified fitness coach based in Victoria, British Columbia, who works primarily with clients middle-aged and older. She is a champion of strength training for life, focusing on sustainable strength and wellness rather than quick fix gimmicks. With no further ado, here's Alana Collins. Alana, welcome to 40 Plus Fitness.
Thank you for having me.
So, you know, I did a little survey asking listeners and I said, okay, look, what do you want on the show? What do you want me to spend some more time doing? And I put, you know, weight loss and, you know, fitness and some other topics in there. A few people wrote a couple things in there. Overwhelmingly, though, I was pleasantly surprised that they wanted to talk about strength training. They wanted to talk about training a lot more. And, you know, as a personal trainer, most of the time when we see someone, they walk in the door, they're kind of that first thing in their head is that they want to lose weight. So it's kind of surprising, but it's also why I reached out. I want to make sure I had you on the show. Your book is called Strength Over 40, the 6-week program to build muscle and agility. And as I went through it, I was like, you know, this is very well done because it's simple. You've got complete, you know, body workouts, whether you want to do it at home or in the gym. You explain every exercise very, very well. And I work with some blind clients. And so when I'm working with a blind client, you have to be very specific about how a movement looks and feels. And you really capture that in the book with your description. So great job.
Well, great. Thank you so much for that. And, you know, it's when I see clients, one of the first things that I, when we first sit down, I talk to them about the fact that we're not going to get bogged down with numbers. I don't want to even know what they weigh. I'm not going to pull out the measuring tape. We focus on getting strong. And that's kind of my mantra. And I say, you know, if we focus on getting strong, everything else kind of falls into place, and it does. And so they're thrilled to hear that.
Yeah. You know, one of the core reasons I think people over the age of 40 feel like there's this uphill battle when they start trying to maintain their muscle mass or get stronger is it just seems a lot harder than it was when they were in their 20s. And it is harder. I won't belittle that at all. A big reason though is our hormones, but the good news is that resistance training has a lot of benefits for us, including helping us improve our hormones. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, hormones are really complicated and can't be discussed in isolation. They all work together. But basically, hormones are chemical messengers in the body that regulate things like metabolism and growth and our mood and our physical response to stress. And interestingly, the body perceives strength training at first as a stressor, which can elevate cortisol levels, which we don't want to have elevated for long periods of time because they can wreak havoc on the body. Cortisol is the hormone that's responsible for that fight or flight response and also the accumulation of retention of body fat, belly fat primarily. So one might ask, why strength train if it stimulates cortisol? And in my research, I've learned that strength training also stimulates human growth hormone, which helps the body to adapt to strength training. And human growth hormone helps to reduce cortisol levels as well as helps us with insulin sensitivity. And so we know the other side of insulin sensitivity is insulin resistance, which we don't want because that can lead to type 2 diabetes. So we know there's a close relationship between cortisol and insulin that's positively affected by the elevation of human growth hormone, which is stimulated by lifting weights and not just going through the motions of lifting weights either. We want to really challenge ourselves with those weights. And so basically, we're training the body to deal with stress in a healthy way by putting that added demand on our muscle. And also, there's strong evidence that strength training not only increases human growth hormone in both men and women, but it also increases testosterone in men, which helps to build muscle and bone mass, and it increases estrogen in women, which helps stave off heart disease and osteoporosis. So that's just a very small snapshot into the hormonal response to strength training.
Yeah, when we're getting to this age, I'm in my mid-50s now, and, you know, our hormones are not our friends, or at least they don't feel like they're our friends, but they actually are our friends, if we take the time to understand that balancing. You know, the resistance work is going to signal, and that's the hormones that are going to do that signaling for you. So the release of growth hormone, this temporary increase in cortisol, which is catabolic, is then going to stimulate that muscle to change. And insulin's going to play its part by replacing some of the glycogen that's come out of the muscle. So the whole training aspects of it gets those things working a lot better together, which is really where the key is. And then with regards to insulin and estrogen, we don't have those right. You don't feel energetic. You don't feel strong. You don't feel all the good things we felt when we were younger. So in many ways, your sex hormones are your stay young hormones. And the better you do at balancing those out and keeping those where they need to be, the longer you're going to feel younger.
Absolutely. And I think when insulin and cortisol are out of whack, it can create estrogen dominance, which I think for women in menopause is really the guilty party in so many of the complaints that women have with menopause.
Yeah.
And regarding menopause as well, I get a little bit fatigued by hearing women blaming everything that's going on with them on menopause. And when the fact is that it's an accumulation of sort of not so wise choices.
That's a really nice way to say it.
And then we hit sort of, because we start to lose muscle mass at about the age of 35, called sarcopenia. It's a fact. And but we don't really notice it until we hit about 50 and we've lost so much muscle by that point that our metabolism has slowed down because our muscle mass is directly tied to our metabolism. We lose enough muscle, our metabolism becomes sluggish. And so I find that many women and men as well, hitting middle age, they've just lost so much muscle that their metabolism has slowed right down. So, you know, another reason to get on strength training, you know, and the earlier the better, but it's never too late.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times I'll have someone and they'll tell me, look, I know I need to work out. I know I need to, but then they don't. And in the book, you talked about the difference between inspiration and motivation. Could you take just a minute to go over those? Because I think people have it backwards sometimes when they're thinking, I need somebody, you know, to motivate me.
Yes.
And get me going. And so they kind of want a trainer or they want a workout buddy or something, someone to walk with them even when they're going to do their walks, just something. But I think we're looking at that wrong if we get those two words mixed up.
I think so. I did a little video the other day on this very topic, and it was really well received. One of the things that I discuss with my clients, again, when I first sit down with them, is about finding their why. What's going to get them through the door? And it's going to be different for all of us. And I see inspiration as looking outward, such as Instagram and magazines or Facebook groups or whatever. Inspiration. And motivation truly comes from finding your why, what is important to you. For me, I had a baby a week away from my 45th birthday. So my why is wanting to be really active for him. And when he's 17 now, so when he has children, I want to be active for them. And so again, and I say to people, whatever it is that gets you through that door, that's your why. And you have to deeply internalize it. But not every day that motivation is going to be there. And when that motivation sort of goes on vacation, that's when we need to tap into discipline. But motivation itself will help carry us through for the most part.
Yeah.
So in some people, I'll ask them what, you know, to think about their why. And to them, it's just wanting to look good in a bathing suit on the beach. And I say, that's great. If that's your motivation right now, that means you don't have a lot of aches and pains in your body and you're wanting to look good. If your reasons are purely aesthetic, whatever it takes to get you through the door and keep yourself strong.
Yeah, you know, I think as we get to this age, we're at that point where we really need to start thinking about what our lives are going to be like for the next 20, 30, 40, maybe 50 years or so. And if we're losing muscle and we're not doing this and we don't do this, and we can't get ourselves motivated and can't get ourselves doing this work, we're going to lose more muscle. Eventually, you're not going to be able to open up jars and you're going to lose your independence. Eventually, you're not going to be able to get up from the seated position. You're going to lose your independence. And so one of the core ways I like to look at it is I want to be able to wipe my own butt when I'm 105.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, that gets me up in the morning. You know, that gets me thinking, if I don't do this, then I'm setting myself up for that. When I first got into this, it was also my daughter. But my daughter was starting to get into CrossFit. And she was starting to, you know, do these obstacle course races and just that kind of fun stuff. And I was thinking, you know, I want to go see her do this, but I don't want to just sit there and watch her do it. I want to be on the obstacle course with her. I want to be doing a CrossFit workout with her. But at the time, I was in no physical shape to make that happen. I needed to be a lot stronger to carry my body through a tough mudder or any kind of thing like that. So that was my motivation, is wanting to finish those races and spend that time that way with my daughter, doing the things she loved. You know, so many times we have our kids around us, we're doing the things we want to do. I wanted her to be doing things she loves, and I wanted to be a part of it. So, you know, finding those ways to have that internal motivation to show up every day, to do the work that's necessary to be that person that can open your own jars, that can wipe your butt at 105 or finish a Tough Mudder at 47 years old.
Yeah, absolutely. And I give a little example in my book about one day I came home with groceries and it was dark in the middle of the winter and my boys had inadvertently locked me out of the gate. And I have my phone with me to call them and I didn't want to start shouting and bothering the neighbors. And so I thought, well, I'll just climb up over this fence. And it's a really high fence. And then I was on top of the shed. And then I had to lower myself down. And that's, as you know, where the real strength comes in.
Yeah.
And I got to the top and I thought, okay, it's like, you know, the down portion of a pull-up. And I could do it. And I felt like a young girl scrambling up that fence and over the shed and down and opened the gate and grabbed my groceries and I was in the house. And I remember thinking, I couldn't do this if I hadn't kept myself strong. Not that it's a huge deal. I could have eventually gotten through the gate, but just the fact that I was able to do that, I was so proud of myself. And yeah, losing muscle as far as aging goes, is the fastest way to lose our independence. And I'm like you, I want to be able to take care of myself for a really long time. I want to be able to do the things that I love to do for a really long time and not, you know, have to just look at pictures from other people that walk to the top of the hill and looked down. I want to be able to do that myself. So those are also my whys, you know, to stay independent. Now, I don't think any of us relishes the fact of, you know, going to a home and sort of deteriorating there.
Yeah.
This episode of the 40 Plus Fitness Podcast is sponsored by Let's Get Checked. I typically get blood labs done 3 to 4 times per year, and I've dreaded it every time. It's time-consuming, expensive, and now I have to worry about why other people might be in the same waiting room with me. Let's Get Checked has a brilliant model for getting lab work done from the comfort of your own home. You order the tests you want, and they send you the testing kits with full, easy-to-understand instructions. You get your sample and send it to them with the prepaid shipping label provided. Their labs are CLIA approved and CAP accredited, which is the highest accreditation available. But what I love most about their approach is how you can order just the tests you want. Full labs can get very expensive. With Let's Get Checked, you pick and choose the labs you want, and as a result, you pay less. Cholesterol, hormones, PSA, vitamin deficiency, CRP, thyroid, they have them all, but you only pay for the tests you want. No setting a doctor's appointment, going to the doctor, finding a local testing lab, if your hometown even has one, setting another appointment, getting the sample drawn, and waiting. With Let's Get Checked, you'll have your results probably before you could even get in to see your doctor. A physician will review your results, and if there's anything going on, they have nurses that you can talk with. It's a really cool process. Let's Get Checked makes it easy for anyone to get professional testing and consultation from the comfort of their home. If you're trying to improve your health, you need measurable goals. Blood work is the best health marker you can use to know if you're on track. Go to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/LGC and use the code ALLAN20. That's ALLAN20. And you'll get 20% off. Visit 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/LGC and be sure to use the code ALLAN20 to get your 20% discount.
You know, my grandfather lived into his 90s, and that's where he spent the ending of his life. And because he couldn't get himself up and down, he couldn't do the things he needed to be able to do, he lost big parts of his life. I remember sitting there at the golf course with him when he was 80, and he said he was going to quit playing golf because he just couldn't do it anymore. His balance wasn't there. His strength wasn't there. And
right.
I just felt like that you lived your whole life playing golf. You love this sport. You live on a golf course, and now you're not going to play golf.
Right. And that brings up a good point too, because the one thing that people say to me is, I walk a lot, so my legs will be strong forever, but it just doesn't work that way. Eventually we'll slide backwards if we're not doing purposeful strength training to strengthen those muscles. And, train for our sport, whether it be golf or anything, hiking, train the sport of life. And we have to do it. And it just quickly, I was a competitive figure skater growing up, and I had these skinny little legs. But soon I wasn't able to compete with the girls that had the genetically strong legs. And in those days, back then, we didn't train for our sport. And I remember thinking, oh, if there was only a way, to be strong. And I had to eventually in my late teens give up skating, but I discovered the gym soon after that. And I was just so happy because there is a way, to keep ourselves strong. And I've done that ever since. And I can honestly say at age 62, I'm in better shape than I keep getting better and stronger. And people, that boggles people's mind. They don't understand it. And also they say it must be such hard work. You must have to be doing this constantly. And no, I might spend 3 hours a week in strength training. But because I've done it for so long, I'm now just maintaining. So I like to say it's never too late to start. Because as the saying goes, muscle knows no age, but the sooner you start, the longer you'll have to reap those benefits of a strong body.
One of the things I was really glad to see in the book was that you spent a good bit of time talking about stretching and showing some stretches that we would do. And you included both the dynamic and the static stretching. Could you take some time to talk about both and then when one is appropriate and when the other is?
Dynamic stretching is not stretching as we know it per se. They're sort of more dynamic movements such as leg swings and arm rotations and high knees and marching in place, jumping jacks even, mountain climbers. And so if we're at home and we don't have access or jumping rope is good, but that's also cardio. If we don't have access to cardio equipment, doing these dynamic movements is a great way to not only warm up our joints, but get our heart rate up as well. So those are to be done prior to strength training. And then static stretching, which is the kind of stretching that most of us are familiar with, are the longer holds, the hamstring stretches and the quad stretches and those sorts of stretches. But one thing, most of us don't hold those stretches for long enough. You know, people will hold them for 3 or 4 seconds, that's it, and go to the other side. But we really should be holding those stretches for 15 to 30 seconds. And those should be done after strength training. I think it'd be painful either. And I'm a believer in that we really shouldn't be stretching beyond our natural range of motion. And I think it's really, really important to maintain our natural range of motion. But I think the studies are showing if we have very flexible joints without strength, that creates unstable joints. And unstable joints are joints that are prone to injury. So that's been interesting to me because I grew up through the 80s, 70s and 80s, where it was all about stretching. And we really pushed ourselves way beyond our natural range of motion. And we don't do that so much anymore. So just maintaining our natural range of motion, I like to say I'm as flexible as I need to be, meaning my joints, every joint in my body can do what it was meant to do.
Now, sometimes you're talking to a potential client or talking to someone and they hear the word gym and they immediately the palms get sweaty and they're thinking about, you know, going into a building that, you know, they're not going to recognize 90% of the stuff in there. And there's people in there. In many cases, they're in a corner over there with the heavyweights grunting and carrying on, maybe even yelling at each other just to seem to get motivated. Or they're sitting around on their phone, sitting on the equipment that you want to use. And so there's this, you know, there's this environment that for a lot of people, they're just not quite comfortable. Can you talk a little bit about some of the benefits of why we might want to go to the gym, but also if we really can't or don't want to go to the gym, there's ways we can do this at home. So can you kind of go through that?
For sure. The gym is a motivating place, or because you see other people doing what you're doing. They're interested in the same thing, which is keeping their bodies strong. One thing that I will do sometimes if I have a 65-year-old lady who's never been in the gym before, I'll take her over to the buffest guy in the gym and introduce her. And then she sees that these guys are just so sweet. And they say, yeah, if you need any help, just, you know, I'm here. So I think that has always helped. But being around your tribe, you know, the people who are interested in doing the same things that you're doing is very helpful. And I sometimes will start older clients out on the machines, which are great. We can't have those machines at home, most of us. And it's a great way to start some people who have never done strength training before. And so there's that aspect, the machines and the being around other people who are interested in the same things you are, no matter the age. And I think people will really be surprised at how helpful the fit buff guy, you know, is when asked a question. People are always surprised by that, and they say to me, "I'm so intimidated," you know. And I said, "They're not looking at you, and they're certainly not judging you. The only thing that they're thinking is, good for you for walking through that door." So that helps too.
Well, the core of it is this, you know, the more members the gym has, then the gym's making money, it's going to stay there. So we want our gym to stay, and we want our gym memberships to be reasonably priced. If it's just us in the gym, suddenly it's not that reasonably priced because we want all that equipment in there. And so they're happy to see a new person walk in the gym. That's a net positive for the whole environment. And I had a client, his name is Trent, and he told me, he said he doesn't really know the names of anybody, but he goes to the gym at the same time every day, and it's the same people. So he'll nod at each other, he'll see each other. He doesn't know their names, doesn't really talk to them, know them that well from that perspective. But he said any day that he's thinking he might not want to go to the gym, he's imagining those guys in there working out. And it's like, even though they're not really holding him accountable, he's holding himself accountable because he knows they're in there and he's not.
So, yeah, that's a great point. I have a very competitive nature, as many people do. And if you know you're sitting at home on the couch, there are those other people that you see every day are in the gym, you know, getting ahead of where you are. So, you know, that's a good point as well. The gym is a very, I don't know, I've been to so many gyms during the course of my life, and I have never, ever, as a small little female, ever had a negative experience in the gym. So I think it takes a tremendous amount of courage for some people to take that first step through the door, but it gets easier and easier. And so I tell them that the first time we sit down together.
Yeah. And I know, you know, some people say, well, let me lose a little bit more weight, or let me get a little bit more comfortable with this, and then I'll consider going to the gym. And so there are ways that we can get this done at home, as long as, again, we got that whole motivation and inspiration thing working for us. Many of us can have a home gym and get the same results. Can you talk a little bit, if I'm going to set up a home gym, particularly to do your 6-week program, what's some of the equipment that I would want to have?
Yeah, well, I think we've proven this during this COVID time for sure, that we can work out at home. And so I suggest resistant bands of various strengths. And you can get the bands with handles or that are continuous loop, any kind. Mini bands are also great. Maybe two or three sets of dumbbells to have at home are great. And if you could get a bench, that's great, but you can use your coffee table or even the floor for some exercises if you don't have a bench. A stability ball is awesome to have. You can do all kinds of exercises with a stability ball. Those are, some people call them Swiss balls or exercise balls. And a mat and maybe a pull-up bar, which I have. And if you can't do pull-ups, you know, you can attach a resistant band to it and put your foot in there, and it's like an assisted pull-up. And maybe a medicine ball. And certainly don't have to do all of that. You can get away with just the resistant bands at first and then just kind of add to it as you go. But you can get a really good workout in with those pieces of equipment.
Yeah, and you can often find these used. There are resale shops in some towns. And then, you know, again, going on something like Craigslist, almost always, or some of the markets like on Facebook, you'll find used fitness equipment at a cheap price. So you can get these things without breaking the bank if you take your time and shop wisely.
Oh, absolutely. Although I will say right now, people, yeah. they're hard to find because people have snapped a lot of this up right now. But you just keep looking and you'll find it. And in the and also, we shouldn't forget about body weight exercises as well. There's a lot we can do with just our body weight, although that's not going to carry us through forever because we do need to continuously, you know, we want that progressive resistance. But body weight is a great way to start out. Also, I should add TRX straps. You can buy and hook to the top of your door, and those come in really, really handy.
Lena, I define wellness as being the healthiest, fittest, and happiest you can be. What are three strategies or tactics to get and stay well?
Okay, well, these might not be your typical responses, but first of all, I would say our state of mind is really important. So be mindful of the words that we say to ourselves. Like, for example, I'm sick and tired, or I hate, or I'm having a senior's moment, or I'm old, or I'm X age, therefore I'm supposed to be in pain and lacking energy, or be carrying extra fat, and growing old sucks, you know? So I never say those words to myself. I'm really, really conscious of how I speak to myself. And so be kind and gentle to yourself and treat yourself how you want others to treat you. And also to stay, this is part of this, of the first ones, is staying connected with others and don't isolate during this time that we're in right now. Be kind to others and be of service. You know, it's all about that state of mind. And second, keeping our brain stimulated by learning new things and getting outside of our comfort zone, which might be going to the gym or taking up something new. And outside of our comfort zone is where the best things happen. And stay informed, but don't get bogged down by the negative news today. And, you know, find solace in knowing that we're all in this together. And third, exercise your body because you love yourself, not as punishment for something that you ate. And strength train and maintain your natural range of motion, as we talked about. Challenge your heart in some way, you know, at least three times a week. And, you know, just stay strong and agile so that you can do the things you love for a long, long time. So that's kind of a long answer, but those things, I don't think we can stay well without addressing the state of mind and our brain, as well as our physical bodies.
I completely agree. So Alana, if someone wanted to learn more about you, learn more about the book, Strength Over 40, where would you like for me to send them?
Well, Strength Training Over 40 is available now on Amazon.com. And I'm in Canada, so it's all available here in Canada on Amazon.ca. And through my website as well, which is AlanaCollinsFitnessCoach.com. And I have a pretty large following on Instagram. There's my two handles are Aging Fearless and Aging Strong. And so you can check me out there.
All right. You can go to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/445, and I'll be sure to have the links there. So Alana, thank you for being a part of 40 Plus Fitness.
Thank you so much for having me. It was really fun.
Next time on the 40 Plus Fitness Podcast, we meet Tony Horton of P90X fame and discuss training variety, keys to success, and his battle back from shingles. Until then, have a happy and healthy week.